Good morning, everyone. I hope you're doing well today. It is October 6th, 2024. Welcome to Lots of Love Ministries. We hope you had a good week, blessed week. I want to talk about a quality today that is at the very heart of what it means to follow Yeshua. That's humility. The Bible has a lot to say about humility. In Matthew 18:4, Yeshua says, "Whoever humbles himself like this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." In Proverbs 11:2, it says, "With humility comes wisdom." And in 1 Peter 5:6, we're told, "Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will exalt you." Humility is about recognizing our place in the world and our relationship with God. It's about understanding that everything we have and everything we are is a gift from him. This includes our lives, our families, our resources, everything. When we truly grasp this, it leads to a heart of gratitude and dependence on him. We recognize that we are not self-made or self-sufficient, but that we need God in every way. This understanding keeps us grounded and guides our actions and decisions. Without humility, we can quickly fall into pride, thinking we are the ones who have achieved good things and that we deserve credit and recognition. But with humility, we give glory to God, acknowledging that he is the one who has enabled us to succeed. Humility also shapes how we treat others. When we understand that our status, abilities, and possessions are gifts from the Father above, not things we have inherently earned, we are more likely to be gracious, kind, and generous towards others. We are less likely to look down on those we perceive as having less than us, and more likely to serve and lift others up, as Yeshua did. Humility is not just about our vertical relationship with God, but also our horizontal relationships with people. It is a mindset, a posture, and a practice that should mark the lives of those who follow Yeshua. One of the most powerful examples of humility in the Bible is the story of the king of Nineveh. When Jonah finally obeyed God and went to Nineveh to warn the people of coming judgment, the king's response was incredible. He rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself in sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. He issued a decree that everyone in the kingdom, from the greatest to the least, should fast, turn from their evil ways, and call out to God. The king's humility led to the entire city turning to God, and God relented from the destruction he had planned. But what does humility look like in our daily lives? It means recognizing that we are not the center of the universe. It means being willing to listen and learn from others, rather than always thinking we have all the answers. It means being willing to serve others, even in small ways. It means being quick to apologize when we've been wronged by someone, and forgive when someone has wronged us. Humility is the opposite of pride. Pride says, "I deserve more. I'm better than others. My way is the right way." Pride leads to division, conflict, and destruction. Humility leads to unity, peace, and life. In our everyday lives, we can choose humility or pride. When someone cuts us off in traffic, we can let it go and pray for them. Or we can let anger and pride take over. when someone criticizes us. We can listen and grow, or we can become defensive. When we succeed at something, we can thank God and give Him the glory, or we can take the credit ourselves. The good news is that humility is not something we have to manufacture on our own. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit living in us. As we see God and we abide in Him, He will grow humility in our hearts. And as we walk in humility, we will experience more of God's presence, wisdom, and blessing in our lives. In this season of the Fall Feast of the Lord, humility is key. This week is Yom Kippur, a day of atonement. This is definitely a time to humble ourselves before Yahweh and repent. Yom Kippur is a holy day in the Jewish faith, a day set apart to afflict one's soul, to fast and pray, seeking forgiveness from God for sins committed in the past year. While we as believers in Yeshua have eternal forgiveness of sins through His sacrifice, Yom Kippur can still be a powerful reminder of the importance of humility and repentance. It can be a time to reflect on our hearts and lives, to seek God's forgiveness for any sin we have not yet repented of, and to realign ourselves with His ways. In Leviticus 23:27-28, it says, "The 10th day of the 7th month is the Day of Atonement. Hold a sacred assembly and deny yourselves, and present an offering made by fire to the Lord. Do no work on that day, because it is the Day of Atonement, when atonement is made for you before the Lord your God." We can and should observe this holy day as one of Yahweh's moeds, appointed times. We keep it as a day not to offer animal sacrifices, but the eternal sacrifice of the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. We remember Yeshua's sacrifice on the cross, and that His blood cleanses us from all sin and unrighteousness. Hebrews 9:13-14 says, "For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling those who have been defiled, sanctify for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" And in Hebrews 10:1-10, we read, "For the law, since it was only a shadow of the good things to come, and not the form of those things itself, can never, by the same sacrifices which they offered continually every year, make those who approach perfect. Otherwise, would they have not ceased to be offered? Because the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have had conscience of sins. But in these sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when He comes into the world, He says, 'You have not desired sacrifice and offering, but you have prepared a body for me. You have not taken pleasure in whole burnt offerings and offerings for sin.' Then said I, 'Behold, I have come. It is written of me in the scroll of the book, to do your will, O God.'" After saying above, "Sacrifices and offerings and whole burnt offerings and offerings for sin you have not desired, nor have you taken pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law," then He said, "Behold, I have come to do your will." He takes away the first in order to establish the second. By this will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. This season can be a catalyst for us to humble ourselves, to deny ourselves, to seek God, and to present ourselves as an offering to Him. It can be a time of deeper introspection, prayer and fasting, of releasing sin and embracing more of God's presence and power, a time of drawing close to Yeshua in an attitude of gratitude. As we humble ourselves before the Lord during this time, we can experience greater forgiveness, healing, and freedom. We can be cleansed from the inside out and empowered to live more like Yeshua. Let's take hold of this opportunity. Let's humble our hearts and lives. Let's seek God's face, and let's walk in the forgiveness and freedom He provides. For those of you who don't believe in keeping the feast, this can be a good time to exercise humility. For in humility, you will learn wisdom and be blessed. Amen? One last point before I close. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, God says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land." This verse gives us a clear prescription for how to live with humility. It starts with recognizing that we are His people, called by His name. This should lead to a humility that acknowledges our identity and dependence on Him. We are to humble ourselves. This is not something that can be done for us by others. We must take the step to lower ourselves, to put aside pride and self-sufficiency. Then we are to pray and seek His face. This means setting aside time to communicate with God, to pour out our hearts to Him, and to desire to see things as He does. We are to turn from our wicked ways. This requires introspection and repentance. We must be willing to let go of sin and embrace righteousness. When we do these things, God promises some amazing things. He will hear us from heaven. He will forgive our sin. He will heal our land. This is not just about us as individuals, but about the communities and nations we are part of. When God's people humble themselves, pray, seek Him, and turn from sin, He brings restoration and blessing. Let's take God's prescription to heart. Let's humble ourselves. Let's pray and seek His face. Let's repent of sin. And let's trust in His promise to hear us, forgive us, and heal our land. We certainly need that in America. I want to close with this. Today, many are suffering from the tragic effects of Hurricane Helene. So how can we sow humility in regards to these victims? First, we can humble ourselves by recognizing that disasters like this are not just natural events, but have spiritual implications. They are a reminder of the brokenness of our world and our need for God. They are a call to repentance and to return to Him. It is a call to be born again, as we never know what the day will bring and whether or not it will be our last. Hundreds of people lost their lives during this storm. If you were going through this type of event and lost your life, would you go to heaven? Yom Kippur is a time to answer this question. And if you are not ready to meet your King, then please repent and be baptized. There are some other things we can do. We can pray, seeking God's mercy and comfort for those affected, and His wisdom for us in how to respond. We can give financially to support relief efforts, not with pride or to draw attention to ourselves, but humbly as an act of love and service. We can volunteer our time and skills to serve those in need, not to be seen by others, but to demonstrate God's love in practical ways. We can listen to the stories of those affected, not to offer quick fixes or advice, to validate their experiences and emotions. and we can advocate for those affected, using our voices and positions of influence to help bring about justice and restoration. By humbling ourselves, praying, giving, serving, listening, and advocating, we can sow humility and show the love of Yeshua to those impacted by Hurricane Helene or any disaster. And as we do, we can trust that God will use our humility to bring about good on earth and eternal good in heaven, as people see that there really is a Savior and King who loves them. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we recognize that pride is in our hearts and that it destroys. We ask for your forgiveness. Grow in us the fruit of humility. Help us to see ourselves and others as you do. Help us to walk in your ways. We ask this in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Well, I pray this message has encouraged and helped you. I would like to exhort you to do a word study on humility and to meditate on it. As I always tell my people, be a Berean. Study for yourself. Let God speak to you about humility and how to walk in humility in your life. Since pride goes before a downfall, let's commit to getting pride out of our lives. Ask the Lord how you can walk in a greater level of humility. As you endeavor to walk in humility this week, I pray that there may be shalom in your home.